you please join me in our opening hymn?
Gracious God, who was and is God of evermore. We have come together this morning from different places for different reasons. And yet, in your incredible love and mercy, you greet us all, welcome us all, and invite us all to worship. To be with us in this time, quiet our hearts and minds against those things that would compete for our attention. And let our hearts rest in you as we seek to worship you. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, which you'll see up on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Father, and to God.
baptism this morning with the Jackson family. We invite Ralph and Erica and big sisters Lily and Lonnie Ford for the baptism of Logan. We have families here as well.
Been looking forward to today for a while and very excited about baptizing Logan Rose. Such a special moment with a special family, and golly, as we prepare to do that today, just want to invite you, Ralph and Erica, to just affirm your faith once again as the parents of all of these girls and the home that you are trying to create with and for them. You know, Catherine's dad can relate because there were three girls in that family, too. So, you know, if you ever need somebody to talk to, you. Yeah, we can all pray for you on that one. So let me invite you to respond to these questions of the Christian faith. With each one, you'll just simply say, I do. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom of power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form it is? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And one question about the privilege of raising these girls. Will you continue to nurture them and work in those now in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And one question for you all, family, because it is special to have you here today as a part of this time, and we know that extended family means so much when it comes to raising children. So I'll invite you to simply respond, I will, to this question. Will you, as that family, pledge your support to continue to encourage and help Ralph and Erica nurture Logan Rose and her sisters into Christian life? Amen.
Mom is a part of this today. She gets the water and pours that into the bowl of the water that we can use for baptism. Thank you. You did a great job. And now, I invite you to pray with me. This is just regular old water, but we pray that God will use it to be a sign of God's grace and love working in Logan's life. And so I'm going to pray a prayer over the water right now, okay? Let's pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and she who receives it to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay, Miss Lily, I have a special question for you. What name is given this child? Logan Rose. Thank you. Hello, Miss Logan Rose. Hi, All right, now I'm going to invite you all to gather around, and I want you to put a hand on your sister, okay? You can touch her leg or her arm or her head. And this, as we all lay hands on her, is a sign of us saying that we love you and we want to help you come to know God as well. All right? So let's quickly put a hand on her. Father, may the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus.
We
thought
have
she was going to get to monopolize this time.
We have the privilege and the responsibility to respond as well. I invite you to join with me, which you'll find on the screen.
We welcome you into our family of faith.
With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always.
Good job. Thank you. Continue to be in prayer for this family and for all families that are a part of our congregation as they seek to raise children. We had another baptism at the 9:30 service today as well with the Pinkison family. And it is a privilege that as a congregation we get to love and serve these families through our ministries here. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. One of the privileges we have of gathering together as a community of faith is coming together to share our joys and concerns. So at this time, I would love to direct your attention to the screens on my left and right. These are the names of folks in our congregation who are either sick or in the hospital or are receiving specialized care. So if we could just take a few minutes of silence and lift up these people as well as any other concerns that you may have on your heart this morning. So if you will join me in this. Come before you this morning with so many different things on our hearts. In this moment today, we take the time to recognize your loving presence here with us now, especially through the gift of baptism. For what more joyous occasion can there be than welcoming a precious little life into your kingdom and into your love? And with this celebration of faith, we also praise you for all of the blessings in our lives, for all of the joys that you bring us, for all of the love that we get to feel and receive. We know, Lord, that every good thing in our life comes directly from you. And so we know that we can also turn to you in times of trouble, Lord, in times of doubt, in times of anxiety. For we know that you are a God who has ears to hear our breaking hearts. And so today, God, we come before you and we lift up the sick. And we lift up the hurting. And we lift up those who have lost and those who feel lost. We pray, Father, that your peace around them and bring them the comfort that can only be found in you and in your love. And Father, we ask all of this, and we pray the words that Jesus taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One of the ways that we have to worship God is through our giving. And in a moment, the ushers will come and pass along the offering plate so that we might do that. And before that, though, I invite you to pray. God, all that we have is yours. From the very beginning, you have called us to be stewards of your creation. And in our gratitude, in our trying to understand our role as in partnership with you, with your creation, and as stewards of that which you have given us, I pray, God, that in this moment we would give back to you faithfully, that we would give back to you as an act. And that we, as your body, would use these gifts for your will and for your glory through the ministries of your church. Amen.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, redemption when we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Love is way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through angels? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know your need? What if times of this life are your mercies in?
beautiful voice and the powerful lyrics. As I was sitting and listening to those lyrics, I was thinking about yesterday. Yesterday we had a funeral here at about 10 o'clock in the morning for a 31-year-old woman, Michelle Thomas, who died from cancer. And talking to her husband, Josh, and her two young children, 4 and 6 years old yesterday. Everything in life is not always good. And yet, somehow, we know that our God, who is all-powerful and all-loving, rescues something good out of it. So, thank you very much. So, as I prepare to share a word with you today, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me as I pray for you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for the last several weeks, we've been kind of walking through the books of 1 and 2 Kings and telling the stories of Elijah and Elisha. We called it Once Upon a Time in Israel. Kings, Dreams, because the blockbuster movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood doesn't have anything on the schemes and the kings and all of their activity. So we're looking at those two books, and the books of 1 and 2 Kings are all about the politics of Israel, the kings who were faithful and the kings who were anything but, the kings who abandoned the law of God. And those books are also about the prophets. Elijah with a J and Elisha with an S-H, who were sent to speak truth to power and always were intent on turning the hearts of the kings and the people back to God. So for the last few weeks we've heard the stories about Elijah and his encounters with King Ahab. Without any forewarning, in chapter 17, Elijah just kind of drops into the story. We've never heard of him before. He pops in chapter 17, and he is sent to a widow who God says will save him. And then, of course, in the end, it's God who saves both Elijah and the widow, as well as her son. And then just as suddenly as Elijah drops into the scene, in this chapter, this week, Elijah disappears from the scene. We learn at the outset of the reading today that he ascends into heaven in a whirlwind, a typical vehicle of activity for God. But more than this reading being about Elijah being lifted up to heaven to be with God, this reading is about Elisha, the one who is left behind, how he will continue on, and what his calling will be. So first, let me tell you just a little bit about Elisha, because he's new on the scene for us today. This is the second time he shows up in Scripture, but we didn't preach about the first time he shows up. So you may remember a couple of weeks ago that Ben preached about the showdown at Mount Carmel, and Elijah's massive show of power as he defeated, with the power of God, the pagan gods of Baal. And then after that, Elijah ran and hid, and he ran for his life because Queen Jezebel was after him. And it's when he's hiding in Mount Horeb that God speaks to him, and God tells him that he needs to anoint Elisha as the prophet who will follow after him. So he leaves Mount Horeb and he goes to find this Elisha. He first encounters him when he is out in the field plowing with his 12 oxen. And as Elijah walks by, he throws his mantle mantle over the shoulders of Elisha. And Elisha says, oh, yes, let me follow you. But first, I need to run back and tell my family goodbye, and then I'll come and I'll catch up with you. So, wrapped in this mantle, Elisha runs back to his family, and then with those 12 oxen, he throws a ginormous barbecue and tells his family goodbye. He will go and he will follow Elijah, and he will be his servant. Now, the story continues, but we don't really hear anything about Elisha from that scene until today. But we assume that he is following along with Elijah every step of the way, that he is serving him and that he is continuing with him as Elijah challenges King Ahab about who he is and what he is doing. And that's when we come to the reading for today. So now we're in 2 Kings chapter 2, and I invite you to follow along. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, yes, I know. Be silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. Said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went home. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at a distance from them. They were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took off his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see them, grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Mourning. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. Where is the Lord, the God of Elisha? He said. When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went forward. So as I was playing this story over and over again in my head, one of the things that kept coming to me was that conversation. that Elijah and Elisha would have had as they were walking along the way. So there in Gilgal, when Elijah says to Elisha, I've got an errand that I've got to run in Bethel. But I want you to stay here. Don't go with me. I'll be back. And Elisha insists on going with him. He says, you're not going to get rid of me at this point. No way, I'm going with you. And when he does, and he gets to Bethel, the prophets tell him, you know you're going to lose him. He's leaving you very soon. Shh, I want to hear it. Don't say a word, says Elisha. Then Elijah says, I've got another errand to run to. This time I've got to go to Jericho. But just stay here. It won't take me long. I'll be back. And again, Elisha says, no way, Jose. I am going with you. When they arrive, again, those pesky prophets, they won't leave him alone. And they say the same thing. You know that God is going to take him today. He's going to leave you. I know, but shh. I don't want to talk about it. Then finally, Elijah says, one more place I've got to go. I've got to go up to Jordan, and God seems to be leading me on this path, and if I'm remembering correctly, it's actually the same path that Moses went on. But now he's taking me to the Jordan, and he wants me to cross over. But really, you just wait here for me, and I'll be right back. God, as my witness, I will not leave you. And don't try to make me, Elisha says. And then that's when the two of them left everyone else. It was just Elijah and Elisha. Mentor and mentee, the closest to friends, walking along beside each other along the Jordan River. They'd gone everywhere together since that barbecue. They had had conversations. I wonder what that conversation that day was like. Elijah was probably the first to step into the conversation. And he looked at Elisha and said, you know I'm leaving. So, what is it that you need from me? What is it that I can do for you? Now, I don't picture Elisha being audacious in his response, but instead, he's kind of shuffling his feet along slowly, his eyes swelling up with tears. This Elijah, who he has loved, who has been his mentor, his closest companion, and he's a little bit overwhelmed because he knows what they've been through, and he's not sure he's up for the task. Being a critic of the system is not for the faint of heart. He knows that Elijah has been harassed and chased down. He's gotten those nasty emails and anonymous letters and death threats, and literally he's been in fear for his life for months now. And he's leaving. Somehow, Elijah has permission to retire and pass the mantle along to Elisha. Elisha wonders how he could possibly handle all of this. So what can I do for you? Elisha says. Well, I think you need to make mine a double, says Elisha. I need a double portion of your spirit. You remember that it was always the firstborn son who got the double portion of the inheritance. And Elijah's just saying, give me a double inheritance of your spirit. I'm not sure I can do it on my own strength, so give me a double. I need double the spirit to live into this calling, especially without you. Elijah says, well, I really can't guarantee that. You will have to have eyes to see like a prophet in order to receive a double portion. And only God can do that to you. taken up in that whirlwind, if you see the movement of God, then you will be given a double portion. And the Spirit of God will be with you and empower you to do far more than you could ever imagine. Then, I came, the chariots of fire and the horses of fire came between Elisha and Elijah. And yet, Elijah saw the vision. And he looked up and he saw with his own eyes this whirlwind, this movement of God taking Elijah up into heaven. And he looked down and he saw that the Spirit had blown the mantle of Elijah to the ground. And Elisha picked it up and tried it on for size and he embraced the difficult task that had been prepared for him. He took the mantle and he struck the water. And just like Elijah, he was able to part the waters of the Jordan River and walk through and back to the prophets who were all gathered there. And when they saw him from a distance, they shouted, "The spirit of Elijah is with Elisha. He must have gotten his double." So there it is. He's gotten a double portion of the spirit. To live into that call and go poke his nose into the politics of Israel. Likely a no-win situation, but the mantle fit, and so he had to wear it. That reminds me of another scene. He's not just a prophet of God, but with the Son of God. He's having an intimate conversation with his closest. For 3 years, he had been their mentor. They had been his mentees. He had traveled with them, journeyed with them day and night. They had listened to him and learned from him. And as he sat at a table celebrating the Passover, he told them that he would be leaving soon. He would no longer be with them. Deep in their hearts, they too knew that the end was coming, and it wasn't going to be easy. They wanted to huddle together and hide. They didn't want to inherit the task that was before them. They had been, along with Jesus, harassed and chased out of town. They knew that the road ahead would be dangerous, because following Jesus can be quite costly. Whether they wanted the man or not, he told them, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." "Not me," they thought. "Not us. We didn't ask for this. We don't want to do this. We can't do this." It was as if he was reading their minds. And he said, "But you won't do it alone. You'll have a double portion of Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And empowered by the Spirit, you will not only do the works that I do, but you will do greater works than these." Portion of God's Spirit. What would we do with it? What would God call us to poke our nose into? What audacious task might God set before us? What lasting fruit could God produce through us? I don't know. But I'm willing to set aside my fears and my anxieties. I'm willing to muster the courage to try on that mantle, to trust in God God, you are so good. You have given us all that we need. And you call us to follow. Even when the road ahead may be difficult or dangerous, you have given us the power of your Holy Spirit, your advocate to be with us. That we might follow. So, Lord God, be with us now. Give us eyes to see you at work in the world. Give us the courage to join you. And if the mantle fits, may we wear it.
Goes out for us to come and to meet Christ at a table of grace and mercy where we are reminded that it is not on our own strength that we rely, but on the power of the Spirit that works in and through us. For we are reminded of the power of God's love and forgiveness for each one of us and invited to recommit ourselves the way of Christ as we go out into the world from the pit. Jesus was constantly teaching, constantly preparing his disciples for what would come after he was gone. And on the night before he died, he gathered with them for a final meal. And he took bread that night and he broke it and shared it with them. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup and gave thanks and shared it with them. And said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Gracious and merciful God, prepare our hearts to receive with gratitude the gifts that you have for us here at the table. Pour out your Holy Spirit on each person here and on the gifts of bread and wine, that as we receive them, we might recognize the presence of Christ in them, given for our sake and for the sake of the world. Nourish us for faithful living, to rise up and go out as one people, one body, in response to your love. Christ in your prayer. We invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and prepare to offer the gifts of God to the people of God. Thank you.
have just about a five-minute time before we transition to a meeting, and we invite you to stay for that, and then for sure there'll be an opportunity for us to talk about what's coming in the fall in terms of our worship schedule and styles of worship and all of that. So we invite you to stay, and there may be some others from the 9:30 service who will be joining us as well. As a blessing today to conclude the service, I want to share with you a blessing by Jan Richardson. Jan grew up at Trinity. She's an ordained United Methodist clergywoman. She's a wonderful writer and artist, and has a particular gift with composing blessings. This is called the Blessing of Elijah. Make no mistake, this blessing that comes like hands laid on your head, a mantle draped across your shoulders, you do not bear it alone. Think of it as lineage, as litany, an ancient legacy entwining you among the strands that weave through the generations and centuries. It spiral with you in and determined grace of a story that has seized you and the one who has claimed and called you. Take heart that this blessing comes to you